This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. For weeks, the threat of a potential Russian invasion of Ukraine has steadily dominated headlines. As of now, Russia has three sides of Ukraine surrounded and has amassed more than 100,000 troops at the Ukrainian border. American intelligence believes an attack could happen any day. Ukraine is far away, and according to a new poll by the Morning Consult, only about one in three Americans can identify it on a map. But more than 30,000 of our neighbors in the Commonwealth identified as Ukrainian as of 2016. It is their families on that map. The threat is not abstract for them, and we want to connect with that today. In a few minutes, we will speak with a member of the local Ukrainian community. But first, to fully appreciate her perspective, let's get a clearer sense of where we are right now and how we got here. To help us do that, we are joined by Emily Channel Justice, director of the Temerty Contemporary Ukraine Program at the Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute. Emily, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
First, let me check that summary. Near war, surrounded on three sides, massive civilian casualties if that happens. Is that a fair assessment of the situation?
That is a fair assessment of the situation, unfortunately.
And how did we get here, Emily? Obviously the history between Russia and Ukraine goes back centuries, but maybe outline this latest buildup of tensions for us and what this crisis is stemming from.
Well, this really goes back to 2013 and 2014 when Ukrainians came out to the streets in support of Ukraine's Western direction and against the pro-Russian president at the time, Viktor Yanukovych. This was a protest movement that was known as Euromaidan, and it resulted in the election of a pro-democratic, Western-looking president and Ukraine really going on the path toward Europe. And in response, Russian President Vladimir Putin illegally annexed the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine. And then after that, Ukrainian separatists or pro-Russian separatists in eastern parts of Ukraine.
Okay, so we are losing Emily.
That they would
Emily, I'm going to have you just hang on just a second. We are losing you. So while we make sure we've got your sound back, I'm just going to summarize for listeners what we just heard from you while we're getting your sound back clear. So this latest conflict dates back to the 2013-2014 era when Ukraine essentially adopted a more Western-facing leadership and approach, but there were Russian separatists inside Ukraine after Ukraine annexed Crimea who wanted to go in a different direction. I think we're trying to get Emily back now. Emily, do we have you?
Yes, so sorry about that.
No problem. So I was going to do that summarizing anyway, so just pick up from there.
Yeah, so basically this conflict has been going on since 2014, and it was in response to Ukraine's initial push to move toward Europe. And over the course of the past 8 years since that conflict broke out, there's been kind of parts hot and cold. There's been increases in tensions and then pulling back, increases of Russian troops pulling back, cyber attacks, all these sorts of hybrid warfare tactics have been going on for the past 8 years. So what's happening now is a new and bigger escalation than we've seen in the past 8 years. But it is sort of part and parcel of the same tactics that we have seen develop over the past 8 years. And so that's why you see the Ukrainian government kind of responding by saying, you know, everybody calm down.
So, so it's part and parcel. You say it's been 8 years, and yet we're here at this moment, not sometime in 2019 or sometime in 2020. So what got us to this moment? And is this in any way, and I am not belittling 2013, 2014 with this question, is this in any way more threatening or more dangerous on a global scale than the situation we found ourselves in before?
It seems to me that it is to some extent, because Vladimir Putin has made several different kinds of efforts to solidify his own power, to be sure of the legacy that he's going to leave in Russia. And he seems to be acting on that right now by responding with such aggression that we haven't seen in the past 8 years. The whole discussion around NATO, as I mentioned before, the discussion in 2013, 2014 was about Europe and the European Union. Today, the discussion is about NATO, which, of course, is a military alliance that would actually
of European countries.
Right. And the US and Canada, with the US being, of course, you know, the biggest contributor. So that kind of tension that's organized around a military response to Russian aggression, I think, is what's maybe prompting a different response.
Okay, so in the simplest terms possible for people who know nothing about the region, what is this about for Russia and what is this about for Ukraine?
Well, you know, for Ukraine, this is about existing. This is about a country that exists in the world, that has defined what it wants to be in the world, that's a democracy. It wants to be a democracy. That's what it's about. And for Russia, frankly, it's about the same thing. It's about to accept that Ukraine is a different country, which he's written an entire essay last summer about how Ukraine is not a different country. Ukrainians aren't different from Russians. And so in that way, it's about Putin for the world order. And the view, you know, Putin's vision of the world is about autocracy. It's about repressing rights. It's about his legacy and nothing more. And you know, he just can't really accept that Ukraine would choose a different path because he doesn't think it exists.
Okay, I appreciate that. That's Emily Channel Justice. She is the director of the Temerty Contemporary Ukraine Program at the Harvard Ukrainian Research Institute. Emily, appreciate the bit of a primer for us today. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, so now let's turn to that local voice. Olga Lisovska is a Ukrainian soprano who immigrated to the U.S. in the late 1990s. She's now based in Newton, Massachusetts, and is founder of the nonprofit organization Music Arts and Fashion Productions and a managing partner of Sky International Center. Olga, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Olga, how have you been these last couple of weeks? How are you feeling?
Very stressed out, to tell you the truth, because my family is still there. My mom is stuck now in Kyiv. She's an American resident, you know, permanent resident, and a Ukrainian citizen. And she went back home to just take care of a few things that she needed to do. And, you know, the COVID, unfortunately, there in Ukraine is not, is still going strong. Here in Newton, we are lifting the mask mandate next week, thank God. But there are still many regions that have elevated risk levels. So she got stuck due to COVID, and now she's stuck due to no-fly zone over Ukraine. So I'm not doing too great, you know, too happy.
I'm so sorry to hear that. President Biden has been encouraging Americans in Ukraine to get out. You're telling me that even if she wanted to, she can't.
She can't. Yes, yes. It appears that, you know, many flights have been canceled by many, you know, airlines. And of course, you know, she has my brother there. My, you know, her son is also there, so she wouldn't want to leave him there. And I have a lot of family. I have a young nephew with whom she's very close, who is her grandson. And of course, I have a lot of family in the south of Ukraine. So if she were to leave now by herself, even if she did find a way, she doesn't want to leave the loved ones behind.
Olga, I don't want to sort of be voyeuristic about your fears, but I do want to ask you, what are you worried about happening?
I want to keep that private because I don't even want to say things out loud. I still have hope that everything's going to work out. I still have hope for the diplomacy, that we're very grateful to the United States for stepping up and for educating the people, the public in the United States about our country, about Ukraine's plight for democracy. So I'm still very, very hopeful.
Are you able to talk with your mother, your brother, other family members? Are you in regular contact with them?
Yes, I've been speaking with them several times a day on Messenger, Facebook, you know, Viber, all of the, you know, WhatsApp, all of the technology things are still functioning, thank God. And they've been, you know, their mood actually has been up till today. You know, today seems to be a very pivotal day for Ukraine. But up till today, they've been kind of very hopeful and saying nothing's going to happen. It's all going to play out. And it's just Putin playing his part and flexing his muscle and trying to threaten everybody, you know, Ukraine and the Western Europe. However, as of today, when I spoke with my mom, there is a change, of course, in her tone of voice. She is considering something like driving, you know, taking all the family and getting into a car and driving west, you know, to Western Ukraine, even though we don't have any family there. If something happens, you know, God forbid, they would be on their way to, to escape.
Are you feeling seen and heard and supported by your community here? I know you're based in Newton, but by the greater Boston community, are we as a community hearing and understanding and responding as you want and need?
Absolutely. I have so many friends, Ukrainians and internationals and Americans, and they are all reaching out to me. They're asking how they can help and, of course, expressing their feelings. And Ukrainian diaspora here is organizing a special event. I think it's coming this Sunday, where we're going to have motorcade with flags and Ukrainian insignia to raise the awareness about this situation. So everybody's coming together, and I feel blessed to be part of this community.
You said earlier that today is a pivotal day. I'm assuming you're referring to the fact that, you know, the Biden administration is briefing senators today. There's been a warning by U.S. intelligence that an attack could be imminent, although it's not quite clear yet. Is there something else you're referring to, or is that what you mean when you say today is pivotal?
Well, today's pivotal day is because finally the people in government, they are saying that it is possible, that the war is possible, and they are laying out the plans, evacuation plans. So it's all of a sudden it got real for the citizens of Kyiv and Ukraine, because before that there was no talk about war and no talk about any evacuation sites or bomb shelters. So I was talking to my mom and I said, do you even know where the closest bomb shelter is? You know, do you know where to run to if anything were to happen? And she kind of dismisses it. You know, she says, oh, I'm sure everything's going to be okay. But I feel in her voice, you know, that it's starting to become something more, you know. Mm.
You said that you are getting good support. If somebody does want to support, you know, our Ukrainian neighbors now, how can people help? How can people in this area help right now?
Well, our Congressman Jake Auchincloss, he reached out to our community Ukrainian constituents, and we formed a delegation. On Friday, we went and we spoke with him. So we feel that our voices are heard. And please reach out to us and see how we can explain what Ukraine is, because we want to make sure that people of the United States, they realize that Ukraine is not part of Russia unless... I mean, at least that's what Putin wants people to believe. You know, he wants to believe that Ukraine is just part of Russia, but it is not. It has totally different nation, totally different country, totally different culture and history, and we're proud of it.
So, Olga, you're a singer, and I think you brought part of a song to share, a traditional Ukrainian song to share for us, something that's maybe brought you some comfort in this uncertain time.
Yes, correct. When I was asked to be part of this interview, and Franziska asked me if I wanted to sing something, I asked my Ukrainian people, what should I sing? And they all were unanimous. They said, please sing the prayer for Ukraine, because it has these beautiful words of asking God for protection, prosperity, happiness, and many wonderful years of life.
Please go ahead.
Боже великий єдиний, нам Україну храни, волі світу промінням ти її осіни. Світлом науки знання нас дітей. краю, ти нас, Боже, зрости. Дай йому волю, дай йому долю, дай доброго світу. Щастя дай, Боже, народу, і мная, мная літа.
Olga, that was beautiful. Olga Lisovska is a Ukrainian soprano from Newton, Massachusetts. She's also the founder of the nonprofit organization Music, Arts, and Fashion Productions and a managing partner of Sky International Center. Thank you for sharing your story with us. We will be thinking of you.
Thank you.